the political side of it, and then there's the real story.
There's a lot to unpack right there. It wasn't quite the interview I thought that was going to be.
There's a reason for it.
This will be officially my favorite podcast I've ever done.
11 million followers. Is that on YouTube or is that on Instagram?
No, Instagram. YouTube's out. We just hit 1 million on YouTube.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you, and I don't know if you want to talk about it, but obviously I've seen a lot of people on your podcast, including myself, Brad, Grant. How do you generally get that many? I mean, you guys have a pretty big backlog.
Yeah, 700 episodes we filmed.
700? Jeez Louise.
Yeah, in a year and 2 months, and we've only released 450. So we got about a 4 or 5 month backlog right now.
Wow.
Yeah, good problem to have.
And do you feel like quantity is what made you get to 11 million? What, like, how did you get to 11 million?
Well, that was Facebook ads and giveaways. 5 years ago, you could get followers for 1 cent. And that's how it is on YouTube right now. So we're running about 20K a month on YouTube ads and we're growing like crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I know that I've been at it for, I don't know how long I've been at it. I have like 2.3 million, but a lot of them were giveaways and stuff
like that. On Instagram?
Yeah, a lot of them were giveaways.
Yeah, I did a ton off giveaways. Those don't really work anymore.
Was that like the the high key guys?
High key. I used high key. I used all of them. You name it, I've used them. But also those followers are just like inactive. So
are they?
They don't really engage from what I noticed.
Yeah, it's a weird level of engagement. But your podcasts do really well though.
The clips do really well. Every day we'll have a video get at least 1 million views.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Right. And then you always have the same host with you?
It's just me now. I used to have co-hosts because I was an introvert and super uncomfortable talking to people at first. So I went through 3 co-hosts just to like get better.
Really?
And now I think they all have their own shows too. So.
Really?
Yeah.
I think the one I did with you there was a co-host.
Was it Wayne?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
Wayne has his own show now.
Huh. Can you make money at it?
Podcasting? Yeah. Not at first though. You know what I mean? I lost money the first.
Scale?
6 months, but it makes about 100K a month.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I appreciate you answering the question. Most people don't tell me anything.
Yeah. I'm very transparent. I mean, I've talked about it a couple other shows, but the top shows make millions a year.
But how did you decide to do it? Like, I'm always curious as to, like, I kind of figure out why I decided to do it. And even though now I still don't even do it that well.
Yeah.
But how did you decide to, like, I'm going to do a podcast? And then make, I mean, it's at least people I know, everyone tells me I was supposed to go on your show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got a pretty big following very quickly.
Yeah. Especially in Vegas. Vegas is a small city. Sure. So it's all the same 5-10 podcasts. But it wasn't like a set decision, I think. I watched a lot of Rogan growing up with my dad. I really liked watching podcasts, Patrick Bet-David, Ty Lopez, shows like that. Mm-hmm. And when I sold the marketing agency, I felt kind of lost for a few months. So I started podcasting just on the side.
Right.
And it just kind of took off. So made it full time. But it's the best business decision I've ever made.
Really?
Yeah. Not in terms of money yet, because I haven't made anything crazy yet. But
do you make it on monetization of like the ads on YouTube, or do you make it from people paying to be there? What happens?
Yeah, it's a mixture. It's ad revenue from TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, paid guests and sponsorships.
Right.
And then events.
So it's like kind of like your show's... Trying to figure out what your show was like to me, but it's kind of like a new. It's like a Jimmy Fallon. But it. Oh, of course, I don't think he's funny, but you're funny. But it's like a Jimmy Fallon show, but just you can watch it whenever you want. Or do you disagree that it's something like not like that style? What would you consider it to be? See, the problem is you're 27, so I'm trying to think of when I was growing up. You know, you did not have anything like you have today. Like big deal was that Carson came on, I believe, at 11:30. When I was a kid, like, you don't understand like a big treat it was to be able to see Carson. Like it was not something your parents let you do. Your parents were, the funny part about it is when you're a kid, when I was a kid, they were way more restrictive with 5 channels than they are today with like everything you can possibly read. Like I look at Instagram now, some of the stuff in my feed is like porn.
Yeah.
Like literally I'm borderline porn. Even on Instagram. So, but what do you consider your show to be like? Do you think it's more Rogan-like or do you think it's more like a Tonight Show, like a kind of a Jimmy Fallon or something?
Rogan is more long form. I mean, his episodes are like 3 hours. Mine are 30 minutes, as you know, and it's a much younger audience. So it's mainly off clips that we get our views. And Yeah, I'd say it's more of a talk show style, quick and rapid. Because people's attention span these days is super short.
So you like to keep your shows under 30 minutes?
30 to 45 is a sweet spot I've seen.
Who's the like craziest guest you've ever had? Like, and I don't mean crazy like nuts, but yeah. Like, wow, I can't believe that guy was on my show.
Oh, like fame?
Yeah. Or no, just that you thought was cool.
Yeah.
Because I've had some people on my show that I personally thought was cool. I don't know if the audience cared, but like I cared.
Yeah.
I was like, it's Maria Bartiromo. I'm like, wow. You know, I grew up watching her.
For sure.
Or it was the Alan Parsons Project guy who really wasn't perceptive with me, but it was still Alan Parsons. I had this one lady who does a show called The Chosen, which it turns out we had a bunch of mutual friends, and it's this really popular Jesus show on TV. And so what I find fascinating doesn't mean everyone else finds it fascinating. What's your most fascinating guest?
I usually don't get starstruck. I've had on some big guys, but for Howie Mandel, because I used to watch Deal or No Deal as a kid, every single episode with my mom, that to me was crazy. Like going to his studio, meeting him, realizing he's a germaphobe, I can't even get near him.
I was going to ask if you licked his face or not. He'll freak the shit out.
I can't
even
shake his hand.
He can't shake his hand. He won't do anything.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing he's got going on.
Interesting. Yeah. And then on the other hand, I'll have on someone that drinks their own pee. So I have on such a diverse group of people.
You have a diverse group of people working for you too. I'm happy to meet, and I'm not going to go into who I met at your show, but I happen to meet a girl that worked for you. I thought to myself, I don't understand things anymore.
Yeah, she no longer.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
She no longer works for me. But
is that true?
She was just working at the studio that I rented.
Oh.
But yeah, she got fired.
Oh, well, no one wants to see anyone fired.
Yeah.
Are you still using that studio?
I'm not. I built my own.
Really? Where'd you build it?
Near the Strip, 10 minutes away.
Oh, it's a shame. Why would I let you use this one?
Yeah, I didn't know. Dude, I was telling your team, this is one of the best studios I've seen.
Yeah, the guy who put it together was a fairly famous person himself. He was actually a famous, in the 70s and 80s, one of the most famous actors in the world. And he came to work for me. His name's Willie Ames. He's a friend. And he built it. He hired Brett. I don't know how he knew Brett. And we got more cameras other places too. We got this shit coming out of our ass.
Well done, man.
Too many stuff, actually.
For real.
But you build your own studio now.
Built my own, and sometimes I'm at the Wynn. They have a really nice studio at the Wynn.
Oh, really?
Next to the buffet.
Really?
Yeah, David Meltzer films there.
I saw that. How do you get to use that?
Well, now SiriusXM owns it. It used to be Blue Wire, so they doubled my rate. But
oh, really?
If I have a huge guest coming in, like I just met
Trump. Well, the chairman of Sirius Satellite Radio is a friend. He was actually at the conference.
Well, maybe you could get me a discount.
When you went to RiskOn 360, Jim Meyer ran SiriusXM Radio for, I don't know, 15, 20 years.
Oh, wow. I missed him. Yeah.
You did?
I missed him.
Oh, yeah. He was the one that signed Howard Stern.
Well, I was interviewing people backstage there, so I must have missed him. He must have been speaking on stage.
Right. So Howie Mandel was your favorite?
Yeah, in terms of just being a little nervous, because I usually don't get nervous. But for him and Grant Cardone, I'd say I was a little nervous for those.
Grant Cardone, I believe, is my first podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Starting off strong.
Well, I knew Grant. I knew his wife. And I was kind of a disciple of him. Until I, you know, whatever. I got nothing negative to say about Grant. But
yeah, he knows how to go viral. That's for sure.
He's figured that out for sure.
Yeah. He got 30 million views on my show. It's crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think people are big fans of Grant's. Yeah. I mean, they're fans of his message. You know, I got not respect. I got respect for Grant for sure. He was instrumental at a part time in my life that him and I connected, and it was great for a while.
Nice.
You know? And so I think it's hard to be super personal when you're that popular.
Mm.
Right?
In terms of like giving your opinions on things?
Well, you were at RiskOn 360. Everyone got to meet everyone there.
Yeah.
I like to have environments where everything is social and everyone can meet. You got to meet Tucker Carlson. All those people, RFK Jr., they're all like, they don't come to our conference if they're not willing to talk to everybody. Mm. Like you can, when you go to a 10X conference, you're like one of 10,000, right?
Yeah, you're not going to get to talk to the
speakers.
You're
not going to get.
Unless you're like paying.
And even when I paid, you didn't. You
oh,
don't
really?
Yeah, you don't really get that access that you,
interesting.
You
want.
So there's a point where you get sort of like, you're part of like, you're not part of any. Like when I went to your facility, like you could tell that you guys wanted things to work nice and you were interactive and personal. And even though you have 11 million, you got 400 people behind you and all this other stuff. You're not like not willing to interact with people, right? Whereas when you get to be Grant's level, you are. How'd you get Grant on your show, by the way?
I actually cold emailed him. He responded within 2 minutes. So he is on top of his email for people watching that want to get in touch with him.
Right, but I'm sure he saw the 11 million you had, yeah, yeah. And he saw your the viral.
I said,
I
have this amount of followers I've had on these guests, all that.
Yeah.
So I don't think he would have came on if it was a new show. I see what you're saying.
Right.
But at the same time, I get pitched hundreds of shows too, and I just can't take them all.
He did my first podcast, and I came to him. He was presenting somewhere in Anaheim. He had about, I think there was like 10,000 people there. Mm. And he brought me backstage, and I set up, and we did a podcast with him for a while, and he was super gracious.
Nice.
And that was a great first episode. I would have done things a lot different now today than I would before.
Yeah, it's tricky because to go that viral, you have to be kind of controversial.
And he sure is.
So he's willing to do that.
Yeah, and I defend him a lot because I say, you know, there's a lot of people that are giving him a hard time during COVID and after some of the, he got sued by someone for one of his real estate funds, which was bullshit. It was a total bullshit lawsuit. This guy put in like $5,000 or $10,000. I read his prospectuses. He knows what he's doing. He's a legit guy. It's just a shame that you get people get caught up and they were putting pictures of the FBI and saying they're going to go after him and all this crap. It's all clickbait bullshit. You know, people that are financial analysts that get to say whatever they want. So I'm a little disenchanted by the way people can say virtually whatever they want without consequence. It's really a strange.
There's a dark side of social media. And I used to be a consumer of those videos. I used to watch videos of people going after these guys, but now I just don't even bother doing it because it affects you.
Do you think, because I kind of agree with you. I'm a little overwhelmed by the, I'm really overwhelmed because, you know, as you know, I'm friends with RFK Jr. And I'm a little overwhelmed with the really divisive, like, stuff that's out there now, right? Yeah. You just try to avoid it, or what do you do?
Yeah, there's some divisive topics. So I'll have on both sides on my show, actually.
Oh, really?
Even though I'm not on a side, usually.
What kind of water is that?
Ephora.
Christy, what is that?
Have you seen it before?
Ah, is that yours?
No, my friend owns it. These cost $30.
Really?
For water, yeah, it's crazy.
$30 for water?
For this, yeah. If you go to Erewhon in LA, it's $30. Really? Yeah.
What's it do for you?
It's medical grade, so they put oxygen and a bunch of stuff in it. It's super healthy, and there's no microplastics.
Really?
Yeah, they sponsor my podcast. So,
well, let's give them a pitch.
Yeah,
if you're watching, put it right here.
Yeah, I'll get them to send you some stuff too.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's nice though.
It's cool that you have sponsors for sure. I've never really pursued any of that stuff.
Well, only brands I use.
Oh God!
I turned down hundreds of brands.
Really?
Yeah, because I got pitched nicotine today, and like, yeah, I don't smoke or
is
anything.
Is that XY thing or whatever?
I think so. Yeah.
What is really? That's a cool idea. You know?
I believe in alignment. You know, I'm not a fan of people that promote stuff just for money.
Right.
They got to believe in it for me.
Did I see you up in Utah?
I was there this weekend. Yeah.
How did you enjoy that?
Interesting, man. The locals there. Very interesting with the Mormon stuff.
Yeah, it's weird.
This is a rabbit hole. It's a
way rabbit hole, dude. I had a call center. I have a business there. I have a place called up in Utah and Salt Lake. I have a business called Guy Care, mm-hmm. And we take care of men. Obviously, it's a clinic for like ED and hair loss and all kinds of stuff that you get when you're older. Nothing you need to worry about today.
Yeah.
What do you think of that networking event?
So Limitless was amazing. One of the best I've been to, and yours was amazing as well.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, where am I going to meet Tucker? Where am I going to meet RFK?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, right. That's not a normal thing.
Right.
So your event, the access was great. I met some people that came on the podcast just from being at that event.
Yeah, I've there's an aura about you that I can't figure out, which is almost like a confident fuck off aura.
Yeah.
Which is like, I'm confident, and if you don't like it, then that's fine. But you don't say you're confident. You just act confident.
Yeah, it's a balance.
And people seem to like you.
Yeah, it's definitely a balance with that ego. My ego's definitely gotten in the way, but I think I'm at a good spot now.
Really?
Yeah.
When did you get an ego?
So I got
when
an
offer.
When you
got to 11 million?
No. So actually the followers, I don't care how many followers people have when they come on my podcast, which most people do. But no, I got a $3 million offer when I was 21 years old to sell Jersey Champs, and I turned it down.
Really?
I wanted 4 million.
Oh, wow.
And the deal fell through.
Well, that would help. That would help ego-wise.
Yeah. So that was a humbling experience.
Sure. What's Jersey Champs?
It was my first business. It was an e-commerce business. I sold jerseys. Now the margins are so thin in e-commerce for the most part.
The razor, right?
Yeah, unless you're in like health or like pharmaceutical, but
razor.
I mean, with Cuban doing what he's doing, you can't even really get into that space now.
Yeah, he's giving the shit away.
Yeah,
right?
For the cost.
Right.
That's how thin they are. Look at Costco.
Yeah, this razor.
I think it's like 12%, right?
Yeah, maybe I should get my Ozempic from Cuban.
All right, cool. Does that stuff work?
So I can flat out tell you that my wife, who's never overweight, but she is a tall girl, 6 foot tall. She's down on Ozempic like, well, she's thin as a rail now, but she's down probably 35 pounds.
Wow.
And her health levels are way better. For me, my diabetes is the best it's ever been in 12 years. It's the lowest weight I've had in 12 years. Now, I'm still morbidly obese. Mm-hmm. Still have to lose a lot of weight. But I will tell you that nothing kills your appetite like Ozempic. I never was a drinker, but you know, I enjoy an occasional adult beverage. I have not taken one drop of alcohol since I went on Ozempic. Mm. Not even a sip of a drop.
Yeah.
I have no appetite. I just ate a little mini Twix bar on the way in here, and that's because the whole day here I've had like 3 pieces of chicken. You have no appetite, and if you do have one, you can barely eat. Mm. It's a wonder drug. It's amazing. And I know they're saying that there's other negative effects, but I'll tell you, for me losing, I'm down, I don't know, 25 pounds or something. For me losing it slowly and being able to monitor it and control, you have a new relationship with food.
Yeah.
So you really change the amount of intake you have, and you can't even help it. Like, you just can't eat it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You can't.
It almost forces you to fast.
It forces you to just take the caloric intake you actually need. See, we as Americans are, you know, supersize me and a double-double, you know, quarter pounder with cheese. You can't. I'm mesmerized by it. So for one of the things I love is this place, they serve like ramen with, you know, with a broth in it and egg and everything like that. It's pretty healthy. But when I used to go there, I'd get the bowl of ramen, and I would get maybe one or two appetizers, maybe three, and share it with the table, and maybe a big order of stuff, maybe at any kind of dinner. Now I'm like, I just had a bowl of ramen.
Wow.
And I could barely, I'm stuffed after the bowl of ramen. You're stuffed.
So it just shrinks your stomach.
It just shrinks everything. Huh. And I will tell you, if I were to actually eat just like a little bit more protein and cut out, like, Skyle will get me one of my favorite sandwiches is Togo's, right? Mm. You see, Togo's, you should sponsor me. I'm a big fan. I love Togo's, right? And if you get the big sandwich, I can only eat half of it. I have to force myself to eat the other half, and then I regret it after I do it, right?
Yeah.
So if you're overweight and you want to control your weight, I think the loss of the weight on your body is far more important than what Ozempic does to you. I just don't see it. Because there's never going to be, unless you're just a purist where you don't take anything, there's always going to be a side effect. There's a side effect to everything, right? If you drank 20 bottles of that water, you'd be dead.
Probably.
Right? You can't drink hydrocephalus. You'd be dead of over drinking water, right? So it's moderation. I take a small dose, and I'm a big believer in it right now. I don't know how we got on that topic.
No. It interests me.
So you were selling jerseys, and then what's NFT Gorillas? Because I know that was where you had an exit, right?
That's where I made a good chunk of change, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was a crypto marketing agency. I used to be big in crypto.
Really?
That's how I made my first million, actually, in crypto.
Really?
So I had a marketing agency, specifically in the Web3 NFT space, when that was hot.
Right, it was smoking.
Yeah, so we helped McLaren do their NFT. We helped Topps do their sports card NFTs. Bunch of big brands, bunch mm-hmm. of athletes, celebrities. And we got acquired in 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah, we already had about $1 million in revenue, and the margins were really high, and then we got a pretty good multiple on it. So,
really?
Yeah.
Wow. That quickly.
Seizing the moment, man. That's been a lot of my success, just being right place, right time.
Lucky that way. Where'd you grow up?
I don't know if it's luck. It's just like, to me, it's a numbers game.
Where'd you grow up?
New Jersey.
Where in New Jersey?
Bridgewater.
Right. All right. Cool. So, like, aren't you supposed to ask what X's that is? But I won't do that.
I don't even remember. But I was the only child in my high school.
You're the only child in your high school.
Yeah, 3,000 kids. So everyone has twins there or siblings.
What brought you to Vegas?
Business. I hated LA.
Yeah.
I moved to LA for 5 months. Didn't like it.
Rough.
Yeah.
I grew up in Orange County, California, for 46 years, and for me to decide to move to Vegas was a big deal.
Yeah, it's tough leaving that weather.
Yeah, but I'm really happy I made the move, for sure.
Nice.
So what do you think of Vegas?
Love it, dude. Yeah.
Is it crazy to you because everyone comes here? Because what I've discovered is everyone's in Vegas. Like, this week I got Planet Microcap. I got a ton of people in town. I almost don't have to leave. They all come here.
Dude, I never leave. So I film 20 episodes a week, and it's all in Vegas. I'm booked until July. There's always a business conference every week. It's just nonstop.
Wow. You film 20 episodes a week?
Yeah, we did 700.
You're like a machine.
In a year, yeah.
Wow. And can you, do you monetize on YouTube?
Yeah, we're monetized. And we make more off TikTok, actually, but YouTube's decent.
You run full episodes on TikTok?
No, if it's over a minute, you get paid on the clips.
If it's over a minute?
Yeah.
Over a minute, but under what?
I don't know if there's a limit on the time, because they have really long videos on there now.
On TikTok?
Yeah, they changed their algorithm.
Right.
Yeah.
I always thought they didn't pay much.
They used to not. Yeah, now it's pretty good. And LinkedIn just launched Reels this week. So I'm going to start getting monetized there.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, we got to hang out with this guy, man. We don't monetize shit. I mean, honestly, I think we're anti-revenue here.
Yeah. Well, that's not the main goal for my show, actually.
What's your main goal?
I want to sell it one day. So the monetization is just, you know, fun.
You want to sell all the episodes?
Or I want to do what Rogan did. Sell to Spotify and keep podcasting.
Oh, so you want to sell your brand to like a Spotify, and you run a show like
Yeah,
Rogan.
Spotify, Sirius, iHeartRadio, one of those companies. Yeah.
Well, at least you know what you want to do. That's half the battle, right?
Yeah.
Do you find that's the issue? Because like for me, I've known what I want to do since I was 11.
Yeah.
I only wanted to do two things. I either wanted to fly a plane or work on Wall Street. This person said to me, you know, if you work on Wall Street, you can afford your own plane. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, I have my own plane and I work on Wall Street, right? So I always knew that, but it's always a challenge for me with people that wonder, like, if they don't have a specific goal. I mean, have you always had a very specific goal in mind? Did you always know what you wanted to do or not?
I knew I wanted to be rich, but I wouldn't say it would come from podcasting.
No.
But this has been the most fulfilled I felt in any business I've done.
Right.
So I think I've found that perfect balance of money and happiness.
Really?
Yeah. Because every other business, I was just doing it for money, honestly. I didn't really care about it. Mm. Crypto is all money, e-commerce.
Yeah, when you do it for money, it's tough.
It's tough. Like
you get kind of dragged out, right?
Yeah, you do.
I got to think Brett over there, my guy who handles my show, he likes doing what he's done for like 40 years.
That's so
he's
amazing, not really, man.
You know,
you won't get burnt out that way.
Yeah.
Right. We get to meet the coolest people with this job, man.
Yeah, for sure.
I got Jordan Peterson coming on in a few weeks.
No way.
Yeah. His whole family, his wife, his daughter, Michaela.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. When am I going to get that opportunity? Like,
you got him coming on?
Yeah.
Wow. Did he just ask?
Yeah. I just DM'd his daughter, DM'd his wife, and then DM'd him. I mean, Instagram is a goldmine. People are sleeping on Instagram. That's how I get probably 80% of my guests.
Really?
Instagram DMs.
Was I one of those ones where you just said, fuck, I got to let this guy on because my friend?
No. I met you. So many people.
I'm totally kidding around.
No, so many people told me to have you on, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I think Brad, a few others.
So so remember when I was on your show, I told you there's a guy who's doing a network roll-up of IT companies. His name's Jordan. Mm-hmm. Do you know this guy, Jordan?
Jordan. What's his
name? He was on your show.
Oh, he was? Jordan Taylor?
Yeah. Isn't his name Jordan Taylor? The guy who was on my show.
Hubie?
Yeah, he's doing an IT roll-up. He's from Chicago.
Jordan.
Anyways.
Had on a few Jordans.
Cybersecurity Jordan? Yeah, the cybersecurity guy.
Oh, Rick Jordan.
Rick Jordan.
I don't know if I've had him on my show.
No, he knew you specifically. He said that you were doing something at the Wynn. He was going to go over and see you. I was like, okay. And so I had first heard of you from him. And then all of a sudden you were everywhere. Like all of a sudden I heard your name one time. I'm like, Sean Kelly. I thought that was like a rap artist or some famous basketball player. And they're like, you got to go see Sean Kelly. He's doing a podcast now. I'm like, okay. And then it just went nonstop.
Yeah. Vegas is a small world. Plus your reticular activating system. Once you heard my name once. Now when I see a G-Wagon, because I just got one, I see them every day now. I used to never see them.
Really?
Yeah. So it's just your brain. Part of your brain is activated to that word, I guess.
I was pretty transfixed with how you did your podcast. I thought it was like the way that you did it felt, it just, I don't know, for some reason your podcast seems really natural. And I don't know whether it's your laid back style or... It's kind of Rogan-esque a little bit. You're like, just kind of, thank God you're here or whatever, right?
I try to keep it as natural as possible. Sometimes the guest wants to like prepare questions in advance, but...
Do you let them do that?
Yeah, I do, but it doesn't feel as natural, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you sell anything now?
Sell anything? No.
Like you have sponsors, but are you selling like... For an up-and-coming podcaster, do you think selling stuff is like sort of against the grain, or would you ultimately sell something on your show or no?
Yeah, I would. I've never wanted to launch a course because I didn't want to get grouped into those course gurus.
Right.
But there's a genuine way of doing it now that I've seen going to these conferences and seeing people pitch that I think, why not? Might as well help people out.
Well, I would think that it's an interesting thing because I was kind of against the course thing.
Yeah.
I've been against it for a long time. The course thing and what I see Brad doing, I'm like, why are people paying for all this stuff? But after doing what I've done for 34 years on Wall Street, and I did it all like organically, and I fucked every bit of it up. Mm-hmm. Like I made so many mistakes. Like I think I told you on the show, I go, I like failed a million times.
Yeah.
I think that the course, like if someone wanted to be in podcasting, were to take your course, I know you would instantly, if they listened, mm-hmm. they would instantly get something from you. They would get, okay, here's the things you need to look out for. Here's how I would do them. Here's how I did them. But you have to be prepared to pivot because you just said earlier, Instagram was big, but now it's not as big in terms of getting people to sign up for when you were doing sponsored stuff and giveaways. But I think that for someone who wanted to do it, I've come full circle on the idea that if you're legitimately trying to help people, the course is worth it.
Agreed.
If it's a money grab, it's a waste of time.
And right? That's most of them.
Most of them, it's a money grab.
Yeah, right? Almost like, all of them.
Right. But if you're going to, I mean, I could actually see if you took on, and I'm not pitching you on a course, but I could see if you had like, if you took on like 25 people mm-hmm. and they paid for the course with you and they got to come and see you do a podcast, see how your crew works, how the whole thing happened. That would be worth its weight in gold for them to not waste the money.
Yeah.
Right. Cause you can waste a lot of money. Like I think we spent probably 80 or 100 grand on this studio and we bought this fancy thing back here and
yeah, I could see
had
it.
This thing made and had all that shit over there. And then I went and saw what you did. I'm like, oh, shit, the guy cranks it out. Like
on crazy. iPhone 11s. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the first setup.
Right. And I'm not saying that I would use iPhone 11s, but, but they take great pictures, right?
They get the job done. Yeah, that setup was like $8,000, but yeah, we all got to start somewhere, you know?
No, I know, but $8,000 and you're doing like big famous people. So my point is that you could the savings alone I'm paying for in your courses would probably, and it's not a pitch for your course, but like yeah. It's a pitch for me to say that I kind of get it now, you know?
Same.
If it's not a money grab and it makes like very specific sense.
I was super against them, but I'm the same way as you now. I could see if the right person launched the right product, I could see it.
Right, for sure. What are you doing next? Like, what is your next big project?
I think it's what we just talked about, launching a course or a community and then keep filming, keep growing. I want to be top three in the world.
Really?
In podcasts, yeah.
Specific goal.
Yeah, so in every photo, people don't know this, I hold up a three on every single photo. You could go back to every single photo I posted and that's because really? I want to be top
really?
Three.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little subconscious thing I do.
I thought it was just a gang sign.
Nah, because no? the deuce is too common. So you got to spice it up. You need your own hand.
Right.
Your own hand signed, you know?
Right, I do that. It's because my wife's family's deaf, and so that means I love you.
Your wife's deaf?
No, my wife's family's deaf.
Oh, wow.
She's not deaf.
Okay.
But she's fluent in sign language, and so she taught me that. Everyone knows I love you in sign language, right? But
interesting.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, that is whatever. Interesting. Wow, death family.
So what do you do for fun besides podcasts? Like you live in Vegas.
Yeah, I'm playing in a poker tournament this weekend. I've never played before.
You're playing in a poker tournament.
Yeah, it's a celebrity poker tournament. 64 people. That'll be fun.
Buy-in?
No, they comped all the celebs. They got sponsors to comp everything. The That's winner nice. Gets 50K, I think.
Where's it at?
It's at the Poker Go Studios in the Aria.
Oh, and you've never played?
Never played.
So you're just going to go in there and just play?
I hired Dan Cates, so he's coaching me tomorrow, the Jungle Man.
Oh, well, you should have hired Jason Bartholomew. He was on my show.
Oh, yeah?
He co-hosted Risk On with me. He's a professional.
Okay.
I've watched him get to a couple final tables. He's a very talented guy.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's a weird mathematician guy. He's crazy. I've never seen anything like any human like him.
Yeah.
I literally play Hold'em at the table where you're playing just against the dealer, and he can instantly know every hand. He calls it's the most insane. Wow. He's full fucking Rain Man. I've never seen anything like it.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that guy is insane.
Yeah, maybe need a second coach. I think I'll be decent because all the top players have autism, actually. I don't know if you've noticed that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so a lot of them do.
Huh.
And I think I might have that because my dad had it. So
you think you have autism?
Well, my dad had Asperger's and my stepbrothers on his side have it too.
Right.
So a good chance.
Yeah, hopefully you can come to the Indy 500 with me. We race there every year. Have you ever been to an Indy 500 event?
No, never. Yes. I had Danica on though.
Oh, you did?
Danica Patrick.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
She I was a huge fan. In fact, quite honestly, she was one of my favorite drivers forever. And I know every win she had because she only had one at Indy. She won it. She won it Twin Ring Motegi, and she didn't ring on April 19th. She ran actually April 20th because the 19th got rained out. My wife was pregnant with triplets. Mm. And I watched the race at home, and it was the greatest win. If you've ever seen Danica win that race, the call from the announcer, where she was on fuel strategy, is truly why I love Indy. And it was really one of the greatest wins.
Down the backstretch for one more time. Does she have enough fuel to get around the final two corners? Into turns three and four. Danica Patrick coming out of four. And boys, move over. The lady is coming through. Danica Patrick wins at Twin Ring Motegi.
I thought, for me, it was because she... Ed Carpenter had to come in. By the way, I'm with Ed Carpenter Racing. So he had to come in for, he had fuel strategy issues. Elio Castroneves couldn't make it. Mm. And Danica passes Elio with one lap to go, or two laps to go. And all pandemonium around the fucking world went on. I mean, it's Danica Patrick. And when she led at the Indy 500 too, she led for 15, 20 laps. It's great to see women in racing. It's really difficult. I mean, you got some people there out there now, you know, that are trying really hard to bring women in racing, especially Indy. But it's a tough, Catherine Ledge. There's a couple out there, Sarah Fisher, that have paved the way. But, you know, Danica really stuck, you know. So yeah. She's an icon in that idea. And, you know, and of course she's little. So she had the advantage of, like, being super fast and little, and the car was fast.
I couldn't believe how small she was. No offense if she's watching this.
She's tiny.
Yeah,
she's tiny. Actually see her in a couple weeks. And yeah. I always high-five her because it's like one of the greatest moments in Indy for me.
Yeah, that was a great episode. I wonder what gives males the edge, because it's not like it's a physical advantage, right?
I just don't think females think of racing cars. Like, normally it's traditional, like a male father will take his son racing, you know, as a kid. And I just don't think a lot of male fathers are saying, I want to get my daughter into a car that's going to do 200 miles an hour plus.
Yeah.
And there's something about a male seeing a female injured, which I don't know if, like, you follow this idea of one of the issues with females being in battle. One of the hardest things for male soldiers to see is a female being injured.
Really?
Like, it's a psychological thing. I think that no matter what people want to say about us, we're bred to basically, well, sorry guys, I'm sure I'm going to enrage everybody who doesn't like this, but we're bred to basically take care of females, right? To be a provider, they provide at the home. I'm not saying that that has to be that way. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that if you just look at tradition going back thousands of years, this is the way men have always wanted the attention of women, and they've always been a provider or a defense mechanism. And to see a woman injured in battle, I can just tell you psychologically, this is one of the biggest issues around it, right? Mm. Which is that, you know, of the women that have been injured, like in the Gulf War and stuff like this, it's always been the most traumatic for a male to see a female get injured. So this is my logic of why there's not a lot of females racing cars. I know we're kind of like on all over the map because I'm talking to you about the people you interview, but I'm fascinated with, like, the craziest interview you had. Like, you interviewed someone, you went, holy shit.
Yeah.
Cannot believe the guy said that or did that, or the one you didn't like, just something. Mm. You don't even have to say the name if you don't want to say the name, but just like an example of something that happened that you thought was crazy.
There's been a lot. There's ghost hunters, just people that perform exorcisms. But the craziest one for me was, it has to be the piss drinker, just because he did it in front of me. So I thought you could fake it or something, but he brought piss in his cup. He flew with it. Drank it. Not only that, he drank my producer's piss, and she did drugs the night before. You met her, and she doesn't drink that much water, so the pee was super dark yellow. It was disgusting, and he drank the whole thing, put it on his face, used it as lotion, and that was just weird.
Was there a reason for it?
He does it for health reasons.
It's healthy?
Yeah, he looks very young, I will say that. And I know a few people that do this. I think it's called urology therapy or something, urine therapy, and they all look really young. You can't deny it.
Hmm. Yeah, I'll have a hard time with that one. What about you? You gonna have a hard time with that? Yeah, I would have a hard time. Parasites, what about that?
Just had a parasite expert on a couple weeks ago. So 90% of people have parasites.
I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard they've had some sort of parasite. So how I'm to get rid of them?
There's a cleanse you take. So I'm on it day 7 or so. It's a 30-day cleanse. And there's also a bath. You put fulvic acid in it and they come out of your toes. So there's little worms coming out, and you record it, send her videos. It's nuts, dude. It's disgusting.
Have you had any come out yet?
I'm too scared to look.
Yeah.
Yeah. She keeps telling me to send photos of my shit to her, but, like, I don't know. She's going to repurpose it.
Yeah, really interesting podcast, for sure. Like, I told you, I knew this would be fun, for sure. So who's the guest you haven't gotten that you want to get? Like Obama or someone? Who do you want to get?
I have a 17-page list when I started this thing that I'm going to get every single person eventually. But on the first like five lines, I believe it was Elon Musk, Donald Trump, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, and Dana White.
Did you see the Lex Fridman interview with Jeff Bezos?
I did. I watched all of Lex's episodes.
What do you think of him? What do you think of him as a podcaster? I like the guest he has.
Yeah.
But the format's a little cleanly.
Yeah.
Well, it's maybe like a sterile format.
Yeah, because he's super logical, engineering background, so very little emotion.
Right.
So you got to be, like, I kind of mix in emotion in my show. I think you have to these days. But
sure.
He's super just straight to the point, logical. I don't ever laugh on his show or anything. So I see what you're saying. And it's so long.
It's a long format.
Yeah, it's right. Hard to watch the whole thing. But I do 2x speed, so.
Yeah, I do 1.25, 1.5.
Yeah.
I do that on books, too.
Same.
I was trying to figure out how I read so many books or how I listened to so many books. Then I realized I'm running, like, when I moved it to normal speed, I was like, what the fuck?
So slow.
Who can even talk like this slow? I can't even do it.
It's come in handy as a podcast host because now when I interview people, I already know what they're going to say, and then I'm on to the next question in my head.
Really?
Yeah. Because at 2x speed, it just... I mean, when I have normal conversations with people, I can almost read their mind at this point.
But who do you think, and I know who I'm going to think, so I'm going to say it in my head before you say it.
Okay.
Because I don't want to, you know, jade your opinions either and whatever they are, but who's the best podcaster out there in your opinion? Like the best podcast by far.
It's got to be Rogan. I mean, numbers are undeniable. He's got the tenure. He's got the guests. Ask the right questions. Mm. I can't see anyone even close.
Yeah, I was going to run 100%. I'm with Rogan all the way. Yeah. I think that he's emotional enough. He has an opinion. I love his just like, fuck you, try to cancel me. I just love it. Yeah. I just think it's the greatest ever. And the funny part about it is the more that he realized that people were trying to do shit to him, the more he doubled down on, okay, if you're going to do shit to me, I'm going to call you out.
Yeah.
And I've watched him for so long. So you're 27. I've got to assume I've watched him his whole life.
Mm.
When he was doing Fear Factor, and he was doing early episodes of UFC when he was like a skinny dude. Nobody kind of knew him, right? Mm. I think he was on Fear Factor first. I can't remember. But he's really evolved into like a fucking powerhouse.
Yeah.
He's like really amazing.
Yeah, his character arc's been phenomenal. I was too young to watch Fear Factor in the early UFC days, but I've studied it and it's right. Impressive.
He's got a pretty great aura going on. And it's what's crazy is the numbers are just staggering. So I one day took a look at your numbers and I thought, okay, well, let me take a look at the views you get. And on one of your videos, mm-hmm. it was 300 times CNN that day. So mm-hmm. the day your video came out with Grant Cardone, I watched your video and I just figured, okay, I'm going to pay attention to how long it takes you to get to CNN. You were there in a couple hours.
Wow.
So I was thinking to myself, wow, Sean Kelly's show is more popular than CNN that episode.
Well, I was watching Rogan and Tucker actually, and he was saying how podcasts get more views than traditional media now.
Right.
Which is crazy.
So I was pretty mesmerized by it. I thought, fuck, this guy's got some juice going, right?
Yeah. Well, look at Rogan. His episode.
Oh, his numbers are
with
fucking
Tucker,
sick.
10 million.
Oh, no, they're just sick. No, and even Tucker's are, when you see Tucker's on Twitter,
yeah,
they're 270 million. They're off the Richter scale. Something biblical. I don't even know how that's possible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
It's impressive. It's probably the best move he's ever done, leaving. I don't know if he got fired or
he got fired.
Left. Oh, he got fired.
Let's be clear.
But yeah, it worked out for him.
He made it clear. He got fired. What's your biggest podcast so far?
I think it's on YouTube, has 1.3 million. Mickey Mace. You know Mickey? Gambler with all the face tattoos.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And then Billy Carson. Oh, my gosh. That got so many views on Instagram. Got 100 million views on Instagram.
Why?
Do you know him?
No.
Billy Carson. He's just a conspiracy theorist, but he provides a lot of data and studies. So he's like, people actually listen to it because it's compelling.
Hmm. You don't get paid. Do you get paid on IG anymore? No, they don't pay you, do they?
They just launched monetization, but it's minimal.
They did it again?
Yeah, because you need to be over a minute and most of my videos aren't on Instagram.
But they're letting you monetize.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. Because I know a bunch of influencers were getting paid by them and then they cut that off.
Oh, on Facebook, right? Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if that's still a thing.
No, I think they cut it off.
Oh, they cut it? They were spending so much on it.
So are you, do you dwell in any of the other channels? Like, do you go, like, are you a Snapchat or a Rumble or any of the other channels, or are you just a few channels?
Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. I'm trying out Twitter, and I told you I'm going to try out LinkedIn, but those three are so far ahead of the rest that I kind of focus on those. Instagram, dude, we might be top three already on Instagram with the amount of views we're getting there.
Really?
In terms of just pure views. Like, I'd be curious, because we post four a day, so our volume's insane, and then the snowball effect of the views.
In their clips?
Clips, yeah.
You don't like posting the whole episode? Because I know you can put the whole IGTV thing up there.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You can post the whole episode.
I thought they removed IGTV.
Well, you know more than me then, I guess. I didn't think they removed it, but if they did, they did.
Yeah, they might have. I'm not sure.
I didn't know that.
I might start posting the full ones on Twitter, though, just because I think that's my way to get Elon on the show.
For sure. I think you just get Elon on the show. Have you tried to get a hold of him?
Well, funny enough, I'm having Don Lemon on. Did you see that interview?
No fucking way.
Yeah, did you see that? The interview was so bad that I reached out to him and he said he's down. So when I'm in New York next week, I'm going to film it.
Where are you going to film it at?
I don't know. I need a studio out there, but we'll find one.
Well, I mean, dude, you're killing it. And I guess since you're going to be the next Rogan, which you're not, you're going to be the next Sean Kelly. You are Sean Kelly. At least you're on my show now before you get like so popular. Todd who? Wait, I remember you. I'm not coming on your show. I'm hoping, by the way, that you'll be at my conference this year.
I will.
We're going to do, this is the third one, we're going to do at the Rio. I think we're expecting about 2,000 guests this year.
Nice.
We've already pre-sold a bunch of tickets. And I know Bill's probably talked to you about it.
Yep.
But I actually want to have you up on stage. Ooh. So, and I thought it would be fun to get one of those super guests up there and you interview.
Wow.
So we're going to talk about that. Christy obviously helped put it on, and we look forward to having you there. I like your aura for sure. It was strange for me because at first when I did your podcast, you just end it. I don't know if you know that, right? You just go, yeah. It's over. You know, and I'm like, did I offend someone? But I get your rhythm, right? It's just like you're kind of straight to the point. I don't know if that's autism. Might be a little Asperger's.
Might be.
I don't think
it's also because I got a guest every 30 minutes.
No, but I know, but I was saying is it's very matter of fact with you. Like, hey, and I noticed that you just keep your word. Like, hey, I'll be on your show. Like, it's just like, it's really easy to do business with you. Right. So, obviously, I'm a fan. I watch all your episodes now since you were in crypto. Do you dabble in AI at all? You have any thoughts around AI?
I like AI. I think it was definitely overhyped, but I use it every day. I mean, I use it when I prepare for guests.
Really?
It saves me a ton of time.
How does it save you time?
So I'll go on, let's say I have Jordan Peterson coming on. I'll go through his top 10 most viewed interviews. I have an AI Chrome extension that pulls the transcript and highlights the key points of the episode. So instead of watching 2 hours episode, it summarizes it for me in, 2 minutes? Not even, maybe a minute. And then from there, I'll pull questions.
So it sounds like to me, no one would get anything from doing your course. They'd have no idea. No, I'm serious. I'm looking forward to your course. I'll probably just take it for fun.
Yeah.
Are you going to video it or is it going to be live or how are you going
to
do it?
I want to do a course, but I want to have a community aspect. That's big to me. I'm the only podcast that I'm aware of that has a group chat of all my previous guests. And I think that's really valuable. You're in it. I'm not sure if you read it at all, but there's been multi-million dollar deals happening in there.
You know, that tells you a little bit about me being a little older is I never really understood how popular these group chats were, you know, these.
Well, they're not for podcasts. I'm the first one to ever do it, but group chats in general are definitely popular.
But I mean, like on WhatsApp, adding that group, they can get up to 2,000 people.
Yeah. Right? Well, that's how I made so much money. I used to have a group chat. You had to have $1 million in crypto to join. So it was just like 100 guys of us and we would just strategize and we all made a ton of money.
Really?
Yeah. These group chats are deadly if used in the right way.
It's amazing how youth, you got your age, monetizes. I mean, I wouldn't have even, it just tells you how quickly technology blows us all by. And I remember when there was no phones.
Mm.
You know, it's just crazy. And I'm not that old. Pager. I remember telling myself that why would I need a cell phone for $5 a minute? Because that's what it used to be. Mm-hmm. When I could just use a pager and stop and use a payphone. But I'm the same dumbass that said, I could just buy a car without air conditioning. I'll just roll down my window. So I don't need fucking air conditioning. These are all stupid things that I said as a kid, right?
Yeah.
What do you think is the next trend? Like in terms of like, you know, one of the things I've learned about investing is that the trend of investing is the most important thing. If you get the wind at your back in a trend, you can make a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, an enormous amount of money. What's on the horizon, you think, you see? I mean, you interview so many people.
Yeah.
I bet the data from your interviews, you know, if you pushed all your interviews into AI, I bet they'd spit out data about common themes, what people are doing, what they did. I bet the data is pretty powerful.
Pretty powerful, yeah. I mean, the obvious answer is AI for sure, but I don't know if that trend has sailed. What do you think?
What I'm seeing in AI is scary.
Yeah.
Like frightening scary, like AI bots and fake people, like fake Sean Kelly that is really realistic and can do your podcast. It's crazy stuff. So assuming that regulation comes, you know, we're headed towards iRobot. We're headed towards really crazy stuff. Like people don't realize what Elon's doing. I mean, he's creating basically a bot army, like real robot army.
Yeah, the Neuralink.
Yeah, no, not Neuralink. I'm talking about like bot the humanoids that will work. And you've ever seen them folding clothes, and they're just they can do tasks in the factory, and you know he's talking about like in 10, 15 years, there'll be more like hundreds of millions of robots working.
Wow.
And so the scary thing about AI is how draconian it is in terms of productivity. Like it is frightening what AI can do, frightening. And what's even more frightening to me is the hallucinations that large language models will just make shit up. Like now you have models that work on making sure that the models aren't hallucinating and that they're fact checking them.
Wow.
So it's really going to be like if you saw Space Odyssey 2000 where Hal wouldn't open the door, you know, I'm sorry, you know why I'm not letting you in, because I could read your lips and all this shit. I mean, computers are really advanced. AI is frightening stuff.
Like, that's crazy.
It's frightening stuff.
Yeah, the person that wrote Terminator and Matrix, she actually lives in Vegas, by the way.
Oh, really?
I'm going to get her on your show. She just came on, but she predicted all this 30 years ago, man.
She sure did.
She's a savant.
I know. It's crazy stuff. And what is crazy about stuff we saw in films before is really happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's really happening, right? And people, you know, that is the most troubling thing around AI for me. And then what we're doing in terms of like this country, we got to figure out how to like all get along a little better.
Yeah.
We're really polarized.
Very. Yeah. It didn't feel that way when I was a kid.
No. All right, everybody, check out Sean Kelly's podcast. I mean, seriously, 11 million strong, millions and millions of views. Goal to be number 3, right? Is that right?
Yes,
sir. Is that 3, Sean Kelly? Appreciate you coming on, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for
having
me.
Thank you so much, buddy.
No, I'm going to explain to you real quick. There's a reason for it.
So, yeah, you got it right.